Okay, so you're ready to really dig into how healthcare professionals can be like amazing teachers for their patients.
It's something I'm really passionate about.
Me too. And today we're going to unpack how all that knowledge translates into, healthier outcomes for everyone. And the research we're diving into today, it goes way beyond just like spitting out medical facts.
It's definitely not just about memorizing a textbook.
Not at all. It's about giving people the tools and the knowledge to really take charge of their own health journey, which I'm all about.
Me too. It's so empowering.
Totally. So, got to start with the basics. Why is patient teaching such a big deal in the first place? Like, beyond just telling people what to do and hoping they listen, what's the real impact?
I think it's about changing the entire dynamic. Imagine a healthcare system where patients truly understand their condition, their treatment, like they get why things are being done a certain way.
It's like they're really in the driver's seat.
Exactly. And when that
Okay.
happens, people are way more likely to actually follow through with their treatment plans.
Which then leads to.
Fewer complications, better overall health, and honestly,
Yeah.
less strain on our healthcare resources.
Right. Everyone wins.
Exactly. It's a win-win.
And that's what our sources really highlight, right? Like they connect the dots between effective patient teaching and some really amazing things, improved health outcomes.
Absolutely.
Less need for constant medical intervention.
Yep, reduced demand for those services.
And that sense of ownership, that agency patients gain when they feel truly informed.
Which is so important. It's their health, after all.
Right. Who doesn't want to feel more in control of their own health?
Right? That's what it's all about. And it brings us to a really crucial point, which is understanding the learner, or in this case, the patient. Because effective teaching, it starts with meeting them where they're at.
Okay, so true. You wouldn't use the same lesson plan for like a kindergartner and a college student, right?
Exactly. They're at totally different stages in their learning journey.
Right. And speaking of different stages, I found this super interesting concept while I was prepping for this. It's called Ask Me Three. Have you heard of it?
I have, yeah. It's
Yeah.
so simple, but so powerful.
Right. Like it encourages patients to ask these three basic questions. One, what is my main problem? Two, what do I need to do about it? And three, and I love this one, like, why is it important for me to do this?
It seems straightforward, but framing those questions can make a world of difference.
Yeah, it's like a cheat sheet for clear, effective communication between patients and their healthcare providers.
Totally. And it highlights just how crucial patient assessment is, because we can't treat every patient the same. We can't just assume everyone's starting from the same point. Everyone has unique needs.
So walk me through this a bit. When
Yeah.
you're assessing a patient's learning needs, what are some of the factors that come into play?
Oh, it's multifaceted, for sure. I mean, we start with the basics. What's their existing knowledge about their condition? Are there any cultural or linguistic needs we need to be sensitive to?
Oh, yeah. That's so important.
It is. And then there are things like literacy levels. Do they have access to reliable information outside of our appointments, like internet access, for example?
Right, not everyone has equal access to those resources.
Exactly. And even things like, financial resources can play a role. Can they afford the medications or treatments we're recommending?
It's about understanding the whole picture.
It really is. Because all of that plays into how we tailor our teaching to have the maximum impact.
I see, so it's really personalized. Now, one thing our sources mentioned that I thought was really interesting was this idea of a COPE model. Have you used that in your own practice?
Yeah, I have. It's great. So COPE, that stands for creativity, optimism, planning, and expert information.
Okay, break that down for me. How does that work in, say, a real-world scenario?
Okay, sure. So picture this. You've got a teenager who's just been diagnosed with diabetes.
Tough diagnosis, especially for a teenager.
Right. So using the COPE model, we'd encourage their parents to be, well, creative. Find ways to make healthy eating fun and engaging, And then there's optimism, focus on what they can control.
Right, accentuate the positive.
Exactly. And of course, planning is key. Planning meals together, making it a family affair, and then finally relying on that expert information from the doctor.
So it's about giving families tools and strategies to work together.
Precisely. It's about empowering the patient's entire support system.
That's awesome. Now we've got the support system in place, but how do we gauge if someone's truly ready to learn? Because you know what they say, you can lead a horse to water.
But you can't make it drink.
Exactly.
You're so right. We can have the best lesson plan in the world, but if someone's not receptive to it, it's not going to stick.
They have to be open to it.
Exactly. And that's where this really interesting acronym comes in. Darn cat.
Darn cat. Okay, I'm intrigued. What's that all about?
Yeah, it sounds a little silly, right?
Like something you'd teach a cat to do.
Right. But it's actually a really helpful way to remember the factors that influence a patient's readiness to learn.
Okay, I'm all ears.
So D, that's for desire. Do they even want to learn? You know, are they curious?
Motivation is key.
Right. And then there's A for ability. Are they physically and mentally able to learn at this moment?
Because sometimes life gets in the way.
It really does. And R is for reason. Do they understand why this information is important?
The why behind the what?
Exactly. And
Yeah.
then N is for need. Do they recognize that this information is actually important for them, for their own health and well-being?
Okay, so that's darn. What about cat?
All right, so C is for commitment. Are they willing to put in the work, you know, to make those changes?
Because knowledge without action.
It's kind of useless, right?
Yeah.
And then A is for activation. Are they actively engaged? Are they asking questions?
Showing that they're really present.
Exactly. And then finally, T is for taking steps. Are they actually putting what they're learning into practice?
Okay, so it's not just about nodding along and saying, yeah, that makes sense.
It's about taking ownership.
Right. It's about that spark of internal motivation, that willingness to really take the reins.
That's what it's all about, empowering them to own their health journey.
Okay, love it. So we've got the why of patient teaching.
They're the foundation.
We've got the importance of understanding the learner, you know, meeting them where they're at. And we've got how to assess their readiness to actually learn. That darn cat.
Love that acronym.
Me too.
Yeah.
So now for the million-dollar question. How do we actually teach them effectively? This is where things get really interesting to me.
This is where the magic happens. But it's not really magic, it's about strategy.
Tell me more.
It's about tailoring our strategies to each patient's individual needs and their own learning styles.
Okay, makes sense. So are there different learning styles when it comes to health information?
Absolutely. And this is where those learning domains come in, you know, cognitive, affective, and psychomotor.
Okay, refresh my memory on those. Give me an example. Like, what would that look like for, say, a patient who's just been diagnosed with diabetes?
Perfect example. So the cognitive domain, that's all about facts and knowledge. It's about understanding. So with a diabetic patient, we teach them about diabetes, you know, what causes it, how it affects the body, potential complications down the line.
Okay, so like the what of the condition.
Exactly. We're building that foundational knowledge base.
Got it. But there's more to it than just the facts, right?
You're absolutely right, because knowing the facts doesn't always translate to action.
That's true for a lot of things in life.
So true. So we also have to address the affective domain,
Which is.
which is all about attitudes, values, and this is a big one, emotions.
Okay, so back to our diabetic patient. What kinds of emotions might they be grappling with?
Oh, so many. They might be feeling scared, maybe overwhelmed, maybe even angry.
Denial, too, I imagine.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And that's totally understandable. So part of addressing the affective domain is helping them process those emotions in a healthy way.
And hopefully develop a more positive attitude toward managing their condition.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because that's crucial for long-term success, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. It's like the emotional intelligence side of healthcare. You can have all the knowledge in the world, but if you don't have the right mindset.
It's going to be an uphill battle.
Exactly. Okay, so we've got cognitive the what. We've got affective the how do you feel? What's the third one again?
The third domain is psychomotor, and that focuses on physical skills.
Ah, okay.
So for our diabetic patient, this could be anything from learning how to use a glucometer to check their blood sugar,
Important.
super important, or how to handle insulin injections safely and correctly, even just recognizing the symptoms of low blood sugar.
Wow. So it's really practical, hands-on stuff.
It is, because it's not just about knowing about diabetes, it's about equipping them with the skills to actually live with it.
Okay, I love that. So we've got the cognitive, the affective, and the psychomotor all working together. That's fascinating.
It all ties together. And this actually brings us to another layer of this patient education puzzle.
Yeah.
How do we deliver this information in a way that truly sticks?
Right, because we can have all this knowledge about learning domains and patient readiness, but if we're not delivering it effectively,
It's all for nothing.
exactly.
Yeah.
So what's the secret sauce?
Well, there's not one magic formula, but the key is tailoring your teaching methods to the individual patient.
So, kind of like we were talking about earlier with understanding their learning style and their needs.
Exactly. Remember that toolkit analogy?
Yeah, like having a toolkit full of different teaching methods and choosing the right one for the job.
You got it. Our sources talk about everything from good old-fashioned demonstrations to group discussions, even role-playing.
Role playing in a medical setting.
Sometimes, yeah. it can be a really effective way to practice new skills in a safe environment.
Interesting. And what about visuals? I'm a very visual learner myself.
Oh, visuals are huge. Think diagrams, charts, even videos.
Okay, so it's about being creative and thinking outside the box.
Absolutely. Because at the end of the day, it's about making that real connection with the patient. It's not just about going through the motions. It's about meeting them where they are and finding a way to make this information meaningful to them.
Love that. It's about that human connection again.
Always.
Yeah.
And when you hit that sweet spot, when you have clear communication and effective teaching, you see these amazing aha moments happen.
For both the patient and the healthcare provider.
Absolutely. And that's what makes this work so rewarding.
I bet. Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground. We talked about why patient education matters. We've explored how to understand the learner.
And their cat-like learning readiness.
Yes, that darn cat. It's going to stick with me.
I told you.
And we've peeked into those fascinating learning domains. Cognitive, affective, psychomotor, who knew?
Right. It's a whole world.
It is. But here's another big question. How do we make sure it all actually sticks? How do we know our teaching is actually getting through?
Ah, the million-dollar question. And that, my friend, is where evaluation and revision come in.
Because teaching isn't a one-and-done deal?
Not at all. It's an ongoing process.
Makes sense. Now, our sources mention something called TeachBack as a tool for evaluation. Can you break that down for me?
Sure. TeachBack is super simple but incredibly powerful. Basically, after you've explained something, you ask the patient to explain it back to you in their own words.
Oh, okay. So it's not about quizzing them or anything.
No, not at all. It's not about putting them on the spot. It's about closing that communication loop.
Making sure they're not just nodding along.
Exactly. It's amazing how often we think someone understands something, but then when they try to explain it back, you realize there are these gaps.
And those gaps can be really important to address.
Crucial. And TeachBack gives them the opportunity to ask clarifying questions. It allows us to tweak our teaching plan in real time.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
It's about empowering them to take ownership of that information.
You got it.
Now, before we move on, I did want to touch on something called the Speak Up Initiative. Have you heard of this?
I have. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's run by the Joint Commission, right?
That's right. And it's all about empowering patients to be more active in their own care.
It sounds awesome. So how does it actually work? Like, in the real world, what does that look like?
So Speak Up gives patients a bunch of different tools and resources.
Yep.
And it really encourages them to ask questions, to raise concerns, and to advocate for themselves.
That's amazing. Because sometimes it can be intimidating to speak up, especially in a medical setting.
Oh, 100%. But Speak Up gives them that confidence. It could be anything from like infographics to videos to even just simple brochures.
Love it. It's about leveling the playing field a bit.
Exactly. And making sure that healthcare is a true partnership.
Yes. Okay. I'm really liking this. Now, shifting gears slightly, I do want to talk a bit more about age and how that influences the way we teach.
Oh, that's huge, because a toddler is going to learn very differently from a teenager.
Right. And what works for a young adult might not work for an older adult.
Exactly. So we have to be mindful of those developmental stages.
It's like tailoring a suit. It needs to fit just right.
You got it. It seems like there's a lot to consider when it comes to effective patient education.
There is, but you've broken it down so well.
Well, the good news is there's a common thread. Meeting the patient where they are, understanding their unique needs and learning styles, and empowering them every step of the way.
Empowering them to be active participants in their own health journey.
Yes, that's the goal.
I love that. Now, this has got me thinking, how much do these principles apply to everyday life outside of a doctor's office? Like, could I use these same ideas to be a better teacher for my kids, my friends, my partner? What do you think?
You know, that's such a great question. Absolutely. These ideas, they go way beyond the hospital or the clinic, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Like I was saying, it could be teaching my kids something or even just like explaining something complicated to a friend.
Exactly. Think about how often you're in a position to share knowledge with someone, to help them understand something new. It happens all the time.
Right. It's like we're surrounded by teaching moments every single day, and we don't even realize it.
100%. And those same principles we've been talking about, they totally apply. Understanding your audience, you know, like what makes them tick, tailoring your approach to their learning style, making sure they're actually getting it, checking for understanding along the way.
It's about being a more conscious communicator overall.
Yes. And it's not just about what we teach, but how we teach it and who we're teaching it to.
The context, the relationship, it all matters.
It really does. And let's not forget about creating a safe space for learning.
Oh, that's huge.
Right. Whether it's a hospital room or your own living room, that feeling of trust and openness makes all the difference in the world.
Totally. We learn best when we feel safe, respected, listened to, no matter who we are, where we come from, what age we are.
Couldn't agree more. It's about creating that foundation of mutual respect.
Okay, so we've got this amazing framework for effective teaching, but let's be real for a sec. Life isn't always a perfectly structured lesson plan, right? So what about those times when things get messy? What are some of the common barriers or challenges that can get in the way of effective teaching, and how do we navigate those?
Oh, such a good question.
Yeah.
Because we're going to run into bumps in the road.
Always.
It's inevitable. So some common barriers. Oh, we could talk about language differences for days.
Huge one, especially in our increasingly diverse world.
Exactly. And cultural differences, too, and how people learn, how they communicate, how they view healthcare.
It's like learning a whole new language sometimes.
It really is. And sometimes we encounter low literacy levels or even just like a lack of access to technology or reliable information.
It's easy to forget that not everyone has the same access to resources.
It is. And then there's the ever-present issue of time or lack thereof.
Right. Everyone's busy.
Totally. So how do we navigate all of this? Well, I think adaptability is key.
Being flexible.
Exactly. Maybe you need to rely more on visuals, you know, instead of just verbal explanations. Or maybe you need to slow down, be more patient, break things down into smaller chunks.
Or even just ask, hey, how can I explain this in a way that makes sense to you?
Love that. It's about meeting people where they are, not where we expect them to be.
So it's not about forcing a square peg into a round hole.
Not at all. And remember, sometimes the most powerful teaching moments happen organically.
Oh, and those everyday, unscripted moments.
Exactly. It's not always about a formal presentation or a lecture. It's about being present, being observant, and seizing those teachable moments as they arise.
I love that. So it could be anything from explaining a medical procedure to a loved one, to teaching your kid how to tie their shoes, to sharing a life lesson with a friend.
Exactly. And those same core principles still apply.
So cool. And remember, dear listener, this isn't just about being a teacher in the traditional sense.
It's about how we show up in all areas of our lives.
Yes. How we communicate, how we connect, how we share knowledge and empower each other to learn and grow.
Beautifully said. It's a two-way street, this whole teaching and learning thing.
100%. We often focus so much on the teacher-student dynamic, but we're all learning from each other constantly.
Absolutely. Every interaction is a chance to gain new insights, new perspectives.
Yes.
Now, before we go too far down that rabbit hole, I do want to circle back to something really important, especially in the world of healthcare. Documentation.
Ah, yes. The paperwork.
Because in healthcare, if it's not documented...
No, it didn't happen. Right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Thorough documentation is crucial. And not just for legal and ethical reasons, but also for continuity of care.
Right, because a patient might see multiple healthcare providers.
Exactly. So everyone needs to be on the same page.
Makes sense. So what are the key things we should be documenting when it comes to patient teaching?
Okay, so first things first, we obviously need to document who we taught. Their name, date of birth, all that good stuff.
The basics.
Exactly. But we also want to note their specific learning needs.
Like if they have a preference for visual aids or if there are any language barriers.
Exactly. All of that is important context. And then, of course, we document the actual teaching that took place.
So like what topics you covered, what methods you used.
Yep. Was it a one-on-one session? A group discussion? Did we use any visuals? And we also document how the patient demonstrated their understanding.
Like, did they ask good questions? Were they able to teach it back to you?
Exactly. All of that is valuable information. And here's the thing. Good documentation isn't just about checking boxes. It's actually a tool for reflection.
Oh, interesting. How so?
Well, imagine being able to go back through your teaching notes and see what methods have been most effective for different patients. Or pinpoint any areas where you might need to adjust your approach.
Oh, I see. So it's like having a record of your own teaching journey.
Precisely. And that can help you become an even better educator over time.
Love it. Okay, shifting gears a bit, I want to dive into the art of communication when it comes to patient education. Because it's not just about what we say, right? It's about how we say it. What are your thoughts?
Oh, you're preaching to the choir. Communication is everything. It's the heart and soul of effective teaching in any setting, really. And it's a skill that we can always be working on no matter how long we've been doing this.
Okay, so Give us the goods. What are your top tips for communicating effectively with patients, especially when you're trying to teach them about their health, which can be such a personal and sometimes overwhelming topic?
Well, for me, it always starts with creating that safe and comfortable environment for open dialogue, like we were talking about earlier. Patients need to feel heard, respected, understood. That's non-negotiable.
Absolutely, because when you're feeling vulnerable or overwhelmed, the last thing you need is to feel rushed or judged or dismissed.
Exactly. And it's amazing how much those nonverbal cues matter, too.
Body language.
All of it. So slow down. Make eye contact. Put away those distractions.
Yeah.
And truly listen. Don't just be waiting for your turn to speak. Be present.
Be present. I love that. So simple, yet so profound.
Right. And never underestimate the power of using clear, jargon-free language.
It's so easy to slip into medical ease without even realizing it. You know?
Oh, it's so true. We're so used to speaking that language. But remember, the goal here is to empower our patients, not confuse them further.
Right. Meet them where they are.
Exactly. And don't be afraid to check for understanding. Like, literally, ask them, does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Or is there anything you'd like me to clarify?
It's like that old saying, the only stupid question
is the one unasked.
Right. We've all heard it. And it's true.
So true.
And the other thing to remember is that every patient is different. What resonates with one person might not land with another.
So observe. Pay attention.
Yes. Pay attention to their body language, their tone of voice, their facial expressions. Those nonverbal cues can tell you a lot.
It's like we were saying before, adaptability is key. 100%. Now, we can't talk about the future of patient education without talking about technology.
The elephant in the room, or should we say, the smartphone in everyone's pocket.
Exactly, because technology has revolutionized the way we access and share health information.
Right. I mean, think about it. Online resources, telehealth, those interactive apps that help you track your medications or your symptoms, educational videos. There's so much out there.
It's incredible. And the beauty of it is we could really personalize the learning experience now.
Oh, I love that.
Right. Some people love to like really geek out on a detailed medical article, while others would much rather watch a short, engaging video. Technology gives us the power to cater to those different learning styles.
It's about meeting people where they are, digitally speaking.
Exactly. And let's not forget about the power of technology to bridge geographical gaps.
Oh, that's huge.
Right. We can now connect with people in remote areas who might not have easy access to healthcare providers or specialists.
It's like we're democratizing healthcare knowledge.
That's a great way to put it. But of course, with any new tool, it's important to use it responsibly.
Meaning, what are some of the potential downsides of using technology for patient education?
Well, one that comes to mind immediately is information overload. I mean, the internet can be amazing, but it can also be overwhelming, especially when it comes to health advice.
Oh, I can relate. It's like, you go online to research one symptom and you end up down this rabbit hole of medical jargon and conflicting opinions.
Exactly. So that's something we have to be really mindful of. We need to help our patients navigate all that information, you know, guide them towards reputable sources.
So like, how do we actually do that? How do we help people become more discerning consumers of online health information?
Well, I think it starts with teaching them to ask the right questions.
Like what?
Like, who wrote this information? Is this from a credible source? Is there any bias to be aware of? And encourage them to cross-reference information. Don't just take one website or one article as gospel. And always, always, always consult with a healthcare professional before making any major decisions based on something you read online.
It's about empowering them to be their own health advocate, even in the digital space.
Precisely.
Huh.
Because technology is an incredible tool, but at the end of the day, it's just that. A tool.
Right. It's not a replacement for that human connection, for that expert guidance.
Exactly. Okay. So we've talked about some of the amazing opportunities technology provides, but let's flip the script for a second. What are some common mistakes you see healthcare professionals making when it comes to patient teaching? And more importantly, how can we avoid those pitfalls?
Ooh, good question. Because we all make mistakes, right? It's part of being human.
Of course. No one's perfect. But it's through reflecting on those mistakes that we learn and grow.
So true. So what's one mistake you see healthcare providers making when they're trying to teach their patients?
One that comes up a lot is assuming that more information is always better.
Ah, the information dump.
Yes. And I get it. We're passionate about this stuff. We want our patients to have all the facts.
We want to fix it.
Right. Yep. But we have to remember that patients have limited attention spans, and they might be dealing with a lot emotionally, especially if they've just received a new diagnosis.
Right, they're processing a lot.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's about being mindful of their capacity to absorb information in that moment. And sometimes that means prioritizing quality over quantity.
So instead of overwhelming them with every single detail, think about what are the most important things they need to know right now.
Yes. What's going to be most helpful and empowering for them at this moment in time.
I love that. Meet them where they are. Break it down into manageable bites. Okay, what's another common pitfall?
Another one that comes up a lot is using medical jargon or overly technical language without explaining it.
Oh, yeah. It's like we forget that what's second nature to us might sound like a foreign language to someone who's not in the medical field.
Right. So always, always, always be mindful of your language. And don't be afraid to ask, hey, am I explaining this in a way that makes sense? Are there any words I need to clarify?
It's about making them feel comfortable asking those questions.
Exactly. And, you know, another big one that I've been reflecting on a lot lately is forgetting to involve the patient's support system.
Oh, yeah. We touched on that earlier with the Koch model.
Right. But it's worth reiterating. Because healthcare is rarely a solo journey.
It takes a village.
Sometimes. Literally. Having a strong support system can make all the difference in a patient's recovery and their ability to, you know, follow through with their treatment plan.
So true. So involving family members, partners, close friends, whoever that support system might be, that can be huge. Obviously, with the patient's consent, of course.
Of course. We always want to respect patient privacy and confidentiality. Okay, any other teaching traps we should be on the lookout for?
Give me one more.
Let's see. Oh, here's a big one. Forgetting to evaluate the effectiveness of our teaching.
Oh, interesting. What do you mean?
Well, it's easy to fall into the trap of thinking that just because we said it, they learned it.
Out of sight, out of mind kind of thing.
In a way, yeah. We can't just check the patient education box and move on. We have to circle back, check for understanding, make sure it's actually sinking in.
And that's where those teach back moments can be so valuable.
Absolutely. We have to be proactive. We have to be willing to adjust our approach if something's not working.
So it's about being a reflective practitioner.
Yes. Always learning, always growing, always striving to be better.
Love it. Now, before we wrap up this part of our conversation, I do want to acknowledge that teaching, especially in a healthcare setting, can be emotionally demanding work.
Oh, absolutely.
We're dealing with people at their most vulnerable, facing really difficult and often scary situations.
It's a privilege to do this work, but it's not always easy.
So true. So how do you deal with that emotional weight? What helps you stay grounded and energized in your work?
That's such a good question. I think self-care is crucial in this field. We have to prioritize our own well-being, both physically and emotionally.
So true. Yeah. Because we can't pour from an empty cup, right?
Exactly. And it's also so important to have a supportive network of colleagues or mentors or even just friends and family members who you can talk to, you know, debrief with after a tough day.
Having that support system makes all the difference.
It really does. Okay, so to recap, we've talked about a lot today. Those foundational principles of effective teaching, the importance of communication and empathy, the impact of technology, the power of documentation. Phew, I'm exhausted just thinking about it all.
Me too, in a good way. But I think it's safe to say that patient education, it's more than just a checkbox on a to-do list.
It's so much bigger than that.
It's about empowering people to take control of their health, to feel informed and confident in their decisions.
And it's about recognizing that every interaction, every conversation has the potential to be a teaching moment.
So as we move into the final part of our deep dive, I want to shift the focus to you, our amazing listeners.
We want to hear from you.
What are your biggest takeaways from this conversation so far? What's resonating with you? What's that one thing you're going to try differently after listening to this?
Maybe it's that Ask Me Three technique, or maybe it's about being more intentional about creating those safe spaces for learning.
Or maybe it's just about approaching those teaching moments with a little more empathy and a lot more heart. Whatever it is, we want to hear about it. Because at the heart of it all, effective teaching is about connection, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. It's about recognizing that we all have something valuable to teach and something valuable to learn. And now I'm excited to hear what our listeners have to share.
It's tough to pick just one patient who really stands out, you know? But this one young patient, they'd just gotten this really tough diagnosis.
Yeah, those moments can be life-changing, both for the patient and for us as providers.
Absolutely. And I remember thinking, wow, how can I possibly help this person navigate this? It felt like such a heavy weight to carry.
I feel that. So what was your approach? How did you even begin that conversation?
Honestly, I think the most important thing I did was to just be present, like really listen to their fears, their hopes, their dreams, all of it. We talked about everything but the diagnosis at first.
You created that space for them to just be heard.
Exactly. Because I think sometimes in those moments of intense vulnerability, what people need most is just to be seen and heard for who they are, you know, not just their diagnosis.
Humanity over medicine, in a way.
Exactly. And then as we built that trust and rapport, I started to see this incredible shift happen. This patient went from feeling scared and uncertain to a place of like real empowerment and resilience.
Wow, that's amazing. What do you think made the difference?
It's hard to say for sure. I mean, of course, I provided them with accurate information about their condition. We talked about treatment options, support groups, all of that. But I honestly think the biggest factor was just that feeling of being truly listened to, of being seen as a whole person.
It's amazing how powerful that can be.
It really is. Wow. And it's not just about patients either.
That's what I love about this conversation. We keep coming back to this idea that effective teaching, whether it's in a healthcare setting or our everyday lives, it boils down to human connection.
That's it. It's about recognizing that everyone has something valuable to teach and something valuable to learn. So as we wrap up this deep dive, we want to hear from you, our incredible listeners. Right. What are your biggest takeaways? What resonated with you?
What's that one thing you're going to try differently after listening to this?
Maybe it's approaching those teaching moments with a little more empathy, a little more intentionality.
Or maybe it's about being a more active listener in all areas of your life.
Whatever it is, we'd love to hear your thoughts. Because at the end of the day, this journey of learning and growth, it's a shared one.
Absolutely. We're all in this together.
And that's the beauty of it all. Thanks for joining us.